Anything else?
Are you married?
She hung up without answering. All six people that were awake and in the house had coffee. Janet Salter herself, Holland, Peterson, Reacher, and the two women cops. Maybe they joined in because they needed to get warm. They all got halfway through their first cup, and then Holland's cell phone rang. He balanced his mug and opened the phone one-handed and listened for a minute. Then he closed the phone again and stuffed it back in his pocket.
Highway Patrol, he said. The bikers are leaving right now. 36 pickup trucks just hit the highway.
5 to 1 in the afternoon. 15 hours to go. Chapter 25. Reacher rode back to the station house with Holland and got the story on the way. The highway patrol was out in force on the highway to check that there were no remaining weather problems. One of their number had been parked on the eastbound shoulder. He had been watching the traffic coming and going, but then, in the left corner of his eye, had seen a long, fast convoy heading down the snowy ribbon that led from the construction camp. It was quite a sight, between 30 and 40 pickup trucks driving nose to tail, each one with 3 people in the cab and a tarp-covered motorbike and piles of boxes strapped down in the load bed. They had slowed and turned, and then streamed and snaked and swooped around the cloverleaf and merged onto the highway and accelerated west. Like a train, the officer had said, like the Northern Pacific itself. The convoy looked a quarter mile long and was taking 20 whole seconds to pass any given point. The desk sergeant confirmed the news. Highway patrol cruisers were calling in reports one after the other. The convoy was now 10 miles west of Bolton and still moving fast, but not fast enough to get ticketed. They were holding to an easy 65, driving straight and true, still steadfastly keeping their noses clean. They used the office with the crime scene photographs. 4 desks boxed together, 4 chairs. Holland and Peterson sat side by side, and Reacher sat facing Holland, with his back to the pictures of the dead guy dressed in black. He asked, "You happy to just let them go?" Holland asked, "Why wouldn't I be? They were selling meth." "This is a small town at heart," Holland said. "We operate under small town rules. If I see the back of a thing, that's generally as good as solving it." Peterson said, "End of problem." "Not really," Reacher said. "They cleaned up and got out because the real estate closing is about to happen. And a closing needs a good title. Janet Salter is the last little smudge on it. She's in more danger now than she ever was. She's the only thing standing between someone and a lot of money. Plato the Mexican. Whoever." "We're doing everything we can," Holland said. "We have 7 officers in place, and they're staying there. We'll be okay. Unless the siren goes off again."
"You say it won't,"
Reacher said. "An educated guess is still a guess. Just remember, this is the time to start worrying, not to stop." Holland said, "You see me relaxing, I hereby give you permission to kick my butt. We may have our problems, and we may not be in the U.S. Army, but we've struggled along so far. You should remember that." Reacher nodded. "I know, I'm sorry. Not your fault. It's the mayor's fault. Who would sign off on a plan like that?"
"Anyone would," Holland said. "Those are jobs that can't be shipped overseas, which is the name of the game right now."
The room went quiet for a moment. Peterson said,
"The motels are all full,"
Reacher said.
"I know that."
"So where is the bad guy sleeping?"
"In his car, or in the next county."
"Where is he eating?"
"Same answer."
"So, should we use roadblocks? There are only 3 ways in."
"No," Holland said. "False premise. We set up a static perimeter. He might be already behind us. We have to stay mobile.
Then he went quiet again, as if he was running through a mental agenda and checking that all the items on it had been covered, which they must have been, because his next move was to stand up and walk out of the room without another word. Reacher heard the slap of his boot soles against the linoleum, and then the slam of a door. His office, presumably. Work to do. Peterson said, "We should get lunch. You could come back to the house. You could be company for Kim. She would like that."
"Because she's lonely?"
"Yes."
"Then you and I shouldn't be the only human specimens she sees all day. You'll pick her up and we'll have lunch in town, the three of us."
"Hard to get a table."
"I'll wait online while you're on the road."
"Where?"
"The coffee shop where you found me yesterday, across the square."
Peterson said, "But..."
And then nothing more.
"I know," Reacher said. "I can see the police station from there. I can see when the bus is ready to leave."
The walk across the square to the coffee shop was short, but it was straight into the wind. The blowing ice hurt for the first few steps, like tiny needles, but then Reacher's face went numb, and he didn't feel them anymore. The line for a table was out the door. Reacher took his place behind a woman and a child wrapped in comforters that were probably borrowed from their motel beds. A guy commits a federal crime in Florida or Arizona, ends up in prison in South Dakota. The family has to follow. For the first year or two, anyway. After that, maybe not. A lot to lose. The line moved slowly, but steadily, and Reacher got level with the steamed window. Inside, he could see vague shapes bustling about. Two waitresses. Steady wages, maybe not much in tips. Families of prisoners didn't have much money. If they did, they weren't families of prisoners. Or, worst case, their guy was in a club fed somewhere, doing woodwork for a year, or reading books. The mother and child squeezed their motel comforters in through the door. Reacher waited his turn on the sidewalk. He was pressed up against the building and out of the wind. Then a woman with three kids straggled out, and Reacher ducked in. He waited at the register until a waitress glanced at him. He mouthed the word "three" and held up three fingers. The waitress nodded and swiped a rag across a table and beckoned him over. He dumped his coat on the back of a chair and peeled off his hat and gloves. He sat down and saw Peterson's car stop outside at the curb, a long, black and white shape through the fog on the glass. He saw Peterson cross the sidewalk. His wife wasn't with him. Peterson cut to the head of the line and stepped in through the door. No one complained. Peterson was in uniform.